This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned goods stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste. Cereal. Coffee. Dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome. Whoa. The heck got loud. Hey, how are you doing? I'm checking the levels on the mic, and I think that is fine. Whoa, okay. I was not ready for that. So, hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. This is the podcast by Spencer, who is reading this book. That's all it is. That's all it is. I think we need to turn this down a little bit more. Okay. So, the first word, if you have any suggestions, creative thoughts, opinions, wants on things that I should do on this podcast, you can tell me those things. I am open to suggestions because I don't think of everything or always the best things. So you can email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. Or if you want to go the Instagram or Twitter route, my handle is @dictionarypod. It's so creative. There's a Google Voice number. I usually say these things that, you know, sometimes I do. I gotta turn on the light because I won't be able to see these words. Just let me know what you think I should do if you have any strong opinions. I think it would be fun someday to do this live streaming, live in person. Obviously, I need to have more guests on. Maybe for the D's, I will put more effort into that. We'll see. That's all. Okay, so the first word in this episode is Criollo. Criollo, or you can say it Criollo without the L sound. It is spelled Criollio, and I think that's an I. Yes, it kind of looks... Actually, I think it might be a double L. I think we need to break out the phone again and double check. The phone can see better than I can. Yes, it is a double L. Criollo. So that's why you can say it either Criollo. That's more American way to say it, I think. Or you can say it Criollo, which is the more authentic Spanish way to say it. So that's how I will say it. It is a noun from 1604. 1A. A person of pure Spanish descent born in Spanish America. Spanish America? Which countries would those consist of? I assume it's just about everything south of the United States. But, you know, there's Portuguese in there. I'm sure there's a ton of other languages, actually. You know, more old Mayan, Incan languages, possibly, a little bit. Hopefully we haven't lost those completely. They're totally Spanish, and they live in Spanish America, and they are They are a Criollo. Number 1B. A person born and usually raised in a Spanish-American country. 2. A domestic animal of a breed or strain, as of cattle, developed in Latin America. And then, if it's capitalized, it is probably any of a breed of hardy muscular ponies originally developed in Argentina. And I just always think it's funny that they use the word developed. All right, it's like a cattle, muscular ponies in Argentina. Argentina, Latin America, animals like cattle can be called a criollo. A criollo is also an adjective, and this is, of course, a Spanish word, and there is more at the word creole. I think my voice cracked a little bit there. Yeah, that was, let's see. This is, I will try to remind all of us a little bit more, a person of European descent born, especially in the West Indies or Spanish America, and then there's French in there too. It's the one that has really tasty food. Okay, this sound effect is going to be tss. Next word is cripes. Oh, cripes. Interjection from 1910. It is used as a mild oath. And we just saw mild oath in the last couple of episodes. Was it criminy? Yeah, criminy. Mild oath. What is a mild oath? I'm sure it's not terribly confusing, but when I think of oath, I think of like an oath you take, the Hippocratic Oath. So what is a mild oath? Can't wait to find out. Yes, and again, it just says it's a euphemism for Christ, just like I think criminy was. Criminy or criminy and cripes. I think I like cripes better. I think that's more likely I'm going to say cripes than criminy. Neither one are very likely to be said at all. But if I'm going to pick one, I think I'm going to pick cripes. Although criminy, it's a very good word. Next word is cripple. Yeah, cripple. First form, noun from before the 12th century. 1A is sometimes offensive. Lame with an M. A lame or partly disabled person or animal. 1B, one that is disabled or deficient in a specified manner, a very specific way, as in a social cripple. I guess that would be that somebody who's not very good in social situations, which is often me, although I'm really trying to get better. I've been trying forever. Let's see. Disabled or deficient? I don't know. What are some other ways? I can't. Number two, something flawed or imperfect. I hope the etymology is helpful. Sort of. Let's see. From Old English, creopon, which means to creep. And there's more at the word creep. So, you know, maybe not. So, like, if you... I guess creep isn't slow. If somebody's disabled in their legs, maybe they walk slow. Here's the thing. People can be physically differently abled in lots of different ways. So this word cripple, because it comes from creep, I feel like is very... It's too specific. It's also just not a very nice word anymore, I don't think. Next is the second form of cripple, adjective from the 13th century, being lame, flawed, or imperfect. I don't think this is a good thing to say to anybody. You know, of course, if you self-identify in this way, that's fine. But to call somebody lame, flawed, or imperfect, I guess it doesn't have to be a human, but usually it is. And yeah, it's just, nobody wants that negativity. They don't need that. They need to be given some positivity. Now we have the third form of cripple. This is the verb form from the 14th century. Let's see. Is it just transitive? Yeah, I think it must be. One, to deprive of the use of a limb and especially a leg, as in the accident left him crippled. Yep, that's what that is. Number two, to deprive of capability for service or of strength, efficiency, or wholeness. I like the whole thing, the S-ness of the whole. As in, an economy crippled by inflation. There are more synonyms. We have the word maim and weaken. Crippler. What is that word? Crippler. Crippler is a noun. That would be a very weird name for a superhero or the antagonist of a superhero, the villain. That's the word that we typically use. I am the crippler. No, we don't want that one. Cripplingly is an adverb. Next word is crisis. Noun from the 15th century. Many parts of the world are always in crisis, and it is not good. Okay, 1A. The turning point for better or worse in an acute disease or fever. Okay, so there's a point. It's like the point of no return, maybe not really. But there's a point probably near the end of a disease or a fever, that journey that disease or fever is on. And at a certain point, it's going to go either better or worse for the patient. And that's called crisis. It's a crisis. It's a situation. We need to do something. More likely, if it's bad for the patient, we'll need to do more. That's why we typically think of crisis as a bad thing, probably. Okay, 1B. A paroxysmal attack of pain, distress, or disordered function. Whatever that is. 1C. An emotionally significant effect or radical change of status in a person's life. Emotionally, it's a very significant event to your emotions. Or there's a radical change of your status in your life. Maybe up, maybe down. Emotions are going crazy. We have those sometimes. That is a crisis. Again, it might not be a negative thing. It could be a positive thing. 50-50, probably. Maybe not. I don't know. What's the percentage there? Is it 60% more likely to be a negative thing? Of course, we're using very, you know, there's a lot of meaning behind these words. Positive, negative. Anyway, where are we? Oh, we have an example. A midlife crisis. I think I may be going through one. Number two, the decisive moment, as in a literary plot. 3A, an unstable or crucial time or state of affairs in which a decisive change is impending, especially one with the distinct possibility of a highly, highly undesirable outcome, as in a financial crisis. Yes, we just often think of it as a bad thing. But, you know, further down the road, it'll end up being better than it was, you know. It's like one step back and two steps forward. Crisis leads to a different crisis, a positive crisis. Okay, we are on, I don't think I read this one. 3A, maybe I did read it. We're just going to read it again. An unstable or crucial time. Oh, yeah, we totally read that one. Especially one with the distinct possibility of a highly undesirable outcome. Can't stress that enough. 3B, a situation that has reached a critical phase, as in the environmental crisis. Yeah, that is what we are living through right now. We are at a point globally where we have to do something, because it's, you got to do something now. It's either going to go real negative or it maybe won't be so negative. So, hey, let's do that. Let's do the thing that's less likely, but will be much better for our future. Or we can decide to go the bad way. That won't be fun for anybody. Synonym, see the word juncture. That's another one. Yes, that's a more neutral sounding to me. We're at a juncture. Which way are we going to go? This is from Greek, crisis with a K. It literally means decision. We are in a crisis moment. We have to make a decision. What way are we going to go? From krinine, which means to decide, and there's more at the word certain. You might decide something, but is it certain that it will happen? Sometimes, it started from this word decision. But a lot of times, it's not a decision you make. It sometimes is made for you. And that's what I think makes them often a lot harder. Because you weren't in control. Okay, Cats. Next word is crisp. The first form, adjective from before the 12th century. Number one, the synonyms are curly and wavy. Yuck, 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 yuck. Crisp. Crisp? Curly? Wavy? Maybe. I don't know if I would pick that. Also, having close, stiff, or wiry curls or waves crunchy. What? Is that an actual... Oh, no. I skipped a line. Or waves crunchy. We call them crunchy waves. Those waves are so crunchy. No, it just ends with waves. Having close, stiff, or wiry curls or waves. 2A. Easily crumbled. The synonym is brittle, as in a crisp cracker. Oh, yes. Crispy things are very brittle. 2B. Desirably firm and crunchy. There's the crunchy. Desirably firm and crunchy, as in crispy lettuce. 3A. Notably sharp, clean cut, and clear. Like all those C sounds. As in a crispy illustration. Also, concise and to the point. Yes, we need to keep our communication clear and to the point and crispy. As in a crisp reply. I'm pretty good with those. One syllable. How you doing? Good. That's nice and crisp. 3B. Noticeably neat, as in crispy new clothes. 3C. The synonyms are brisk and lively, as in a crisp tale of intrigue. Also as in crisp musical tempi. Now, is that the plural of tempo? Tempi? Tempi? 3D, briskly cold, as in crisp winter weather. Also, the synonyms fresh and invigorating, as in crisp autumn air. Also, as in a crisp white wine. It's so crisp. 3E, deftly and powerfully executed, as in a crisp tennis serve. A synonym is the word fragile or fragile. Crisply is an adverb. Crispness is a noun. How much crispness do you have? Let's see. From akin to the Welsh word crish, C-R-Y-C-H, and that means curly. No idea how to pronounce that word. Next is the second form of crisp. It's a verb from the 14th century, starting with transitive. One, the synonyms are curl and crimp. Two, to cause to ripple, and a synonym is wrinkled. No, just wrinkle. I imagine potato chips that are rippled and wrinkled. Ruffles have ridges, and they are crispy. Number three, to make or keep crisp. Now we have intransitive. Number one, synonym is curl. Two, synonym is ripple. Three, to become crisp. I shall become so crisp. Third form of crisp, noun from the 14th century. 1A, something crisp or brittle, as in burned to a crisp. Would it not be burnt? Also as in rye crisps. Oh, well, those are the best things. Everybody knows this. That's why Giardetto's, however you pronounce it, they made an all rye crisp bag, which is really all you need in that bag. I'm pretty sure I've eaten just the bag of those things. Okay, let's see. Okay, 1B, this is chiefly British. The synonym is just potato chip. Yeah, as an American, I've always thought that was a little funny. You call them crisps. And then chips are fries. So fries equals chips equals crisps. Do we call something crisp that they call something different? Do we call fries? Do they call fries? I don't know. Okay, that is usually used in plural. Yeah, crisps. Number two, a baking dessert of fruit with crumb topping, as in apple crisp. I love the top, the crispy, kind of maybe little crunchy top of an apple thing like that. That is one of my favorite desserts, especially when it's a little crunchy but sweet. Ooh, that's one of the best things. Next we have crisp bread. One word, noun from circa 1927. A plain, dry, unsweetened cracker made from crushed grain, as wheat or rye. Nothing about crisp bread. Next we have Crispin. Is it Crispin Glover? No. This is a verb from 1931, transitive, to make crisp. And then intransitive, to become crisp. To make crisp, to become crisp. I don't know why that's funny, but it is. Crispin. Next is crisper. Noun from 1835. Isn't there a NASA acronym? No. CRISPR. That's the thing where they do the gene editing, the gene splicing, the learning about the gene stuff. That's CRISPR. I think it's capital S. No. CRPSR? It must be. I should learn what that stands for. I can never remember it. Okay, this CRISPR, though, this is a noun from 1835. One that crisps, especially a closed container in a refrigerator intended to prevent loss of moisture from fresh produce. You must keep those veggies crisp. Next, it is crisp head, which I think is just a very silly word. This is one word, crisp head, noun from 1966. The synonym is iceberg lettuce. And we got one more. It is crispy. Adjective from the 14th century. One. It is the number one definition for the word crisp. Curly, wavy. As in crispy hair. Number two. Appealingly crunchy. And the synonym is crisp. As in crispy fried chicken. Crispiness is a noun. Let's see. Okay, the words were criollo, cripes, cripple, 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 crisis, crisp, 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 crisp bread, crispin, crisper, crisp head, and crispy. And there is a cat. That is her vote. Her vote. Well, I'm either gonna pick, I think, crisp or crispy. Which one? Well, I think I'll just pick crisp, the all-encompassing crisp. All three forms includes crispy, because, well, I don't know, I love potato chips, and those are called crisps in, Britain and other British countries, and those are good, and there was something else, and then also, and then the apple crisp, that was the other one, but also, this is a very stupid thing I said when I was a kid, but I got very tan as a kid. In the summer, I'd get super, super tan, not anymore. But I remember telling somebody when I was probably 8 or 7, and I was like, I want to get so tan, I want to be crispy. And for some reason, that just stuck with me. I just think it was a very silly, why would you say you want to be crispy? No, that means you've been burnt. It's a very dumb kid. Okay, that is it for this episode. Thank you very much for listening, and until next time, this is Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.